Well, President Trump is in New York today for the UN General Assembly. He will speak at the UN tomorrow, an organization he's had tough words for in the past. Here he is during the campaign.
The United Nations is not a friend of democracy. It's not a friend to freedom. It's not a friend even to the United States of America, where, as you know, it has its home.
Joining us now is NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Jeremy.
And do you expect the president to keep up his criticism of the UN tomorrow during his speech?
Yes, but in a much milder and more muted fashion. We got a little preview of that this morning when he popped in on a meeting on UN reform there in New York. The General Assembly is already underway. And he made some remarks about how the United Nations needs to get reformed and needs to downsize. But this was not entirely out of line with some of the statements we've heard from the new Secretary General. From the new Secretary General of the UN, and they seem to have a warm handshake together. And so the president was not being as harsh as he was in front of some of those rallies, and certainly not engaging in that America First rhetoric that we have sometimes heard.
Still, how do you think he'll be received tomorrow during his speech at the UN? Do you expect some countries to walk out or sit on their hands or anything like that?
More likely to sit on their hands than walk out. Cool reception, perhaps. He certainly has been very, very harsh with the organization in the past. He's talked about how it doesn't really serve any of its ends and is corrupt, and that is not going to be the message they hear tomorrow, but they may be protesting a message they've heard previously. Most of them, though, I think, are going to listen to him quite seriously and politely, because at this particular moment, the real crisis facing the United Nations is not an internal one, and it's not Donald Trump, it's North Korea, right, and what to do about North Korea.
One issue that will surely come up during the UN General Assembly is the Paris Climate Agreement. Now, the president has said the U.S. is going to withdraw from that deal. But over the weekend, there was a report in The Wall Street Journal that maybe the administration is changing its mind and might stay in. What's going on here?
A lot of people think that the Wall Street Journal has a pretty good pipeline into the White House, and this is another one of those issues where the official White House position seems to be at odds with what comes leaking out from some elements within the White House. And there may be some method in this apparent confusion, because the administration likes to have some of these issues both ways. They can talk to people who feel we should be going forward with our commitment to the Paris Agreement, even after having announced it that we are going to pull out, and thereby pleasing the base voters for Donald Trump last year, many of whom seem to have felt that that climate agreement was not favorable, right, to the United States, and had been told that by Donald Trump.
Ron, what about the political story that dominated the news last week, Trump's possible second deal with the Democrats in as many weeks? Listen here to Republican strategist Alex Castellanos on ABC's This Week. He said he sees this, Trump's doing deal with the Democrats, as the beginning maybe of a three-party system in the U.S.
But he's figured out that if it's a three-party race in 2020, he can win with 40.
First of all,
he'll always
first
have 40.
Of all,
and that's the geometry. Republicans may take a beating in 2018, but you're right, Donald Trump won't.
The suggestion there is that he can win with 40. If you couldn't hear what Alex Castellano was saying, he's saying, you know, if he splits it up into the Trumpians, the Republicans and the Democrats, he does pretty well.
If you believe that he would always have 40, even if he were losing those Republicans who voted for him in 2016, just because he was the Republican nominee, if you reduce him just to his hard base, which may be 40, and if you look at the polls today, maybe a little south of 40, that would seem to give him at least a fighting chance in a three-way race. But it would also assume that there was not a party anywhere that was seen as opposed to both Donald Trump and the Republicans. And I think the Democratic Party might audition for that role in 2020.
But I guess the bigger question here is, has anybody figured out what he's up to here with doing deals with the Democrats?
No, I don't think anyone quite knows exactly what he thinks he's doing, or whether it is part of a grand strategy, or whether it's just how he feels on Wednesday and then how he feels on Thursday. So Chuck and Nancy, that would be Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic leaders in the Senate and House, respectively, become his besties one day. And then the next day, he is sending out a completely different message on Twitter, and then yet another message through some of his various surrogates.
Meanwhile, Senate Republicans are considering one last effort to try to repeal Obamacare. Leadership has been making a quiet push to gain support for the Graham-Cassidy bill. These are two Republican senators, which would replace some of Obamacare's payments to states with block grants and shrink overall funding. Do the votes exist for this?
The votes aren't there yet. We are told they have something like 47 or 48. They need 50 in order to get Mike Pence's tie-breaking vote involved. They were not able to get to 50 on any of the other versions of repeal and replace that they have brought to the floor. We know they don't have 50 quite yet because Rand Paul is out and several other senators have not committed one way or another. That includes Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Both of their states would lose a lot of their Medicaid expansion money. That's Medicaid expansion money. That would be the main reason that they probably voted against those earlier versions. Plus, we still don't know for certain there wouldn't be some of the conservatives joining Rand Paul because this particular version of repeal and replace would not repeal all of the Obamacare taxes.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Ron, just in the 30 seconds we have left, I want to ask you about this tweet that President Trump sent out, a retweet of him hitting a golf ball that hits Hillary Clinton, doctored video. I feel like if any other president did that, this would be the story for the week.
Well, he does it because he's Donald Trump, and he finds it amusing, and he thinks that his Twitter followers will as well, and he gets away with it because he's right about many of those followers. And besides that, what does it even mean to get away with something in 2017?
That's NPR Senior Washington Editor and Correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, thanks as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.